Happy Tuesday with Tamika. Thank you all so much for joining me for yet another episode of Tuesday with Tamika, where you guys already know what it is. We believe in lifting as we climb, turning our trials into treasures, living a life to inspire and not impress, and allowing God to fully restore us. And did you guys remember pillar number 5? We have a new grounding statement and core value, and that is opening up and heal and loving as if we've never been hurt. I'm super excited about this week's episode. It is going to be really good. You know, 2023 has brought us a lot of things. It brought us a lot of good and it brought us a lot of heartache. But what I know is no matter where you're at on that pendulum of good or bad, legacy matters. Legacy matters. And I am a firm believer of everything that you say and do is for your legacy. It's what you're passing on to the next generation. And it's how people are going to remember you. I believe that today's guest knows a lot about legacy because she has years in the game, you guys. I believe in bringing people on the podcast that have receipts. They're not new to this, but they're true to this. And I know that my beautiful guest is going to inspire us. She's going to lift us, and she's going to show us how to bring more legacy into all of the things that we do. So without further ado, hey, sis, you have a minute?
Hey, sis, you got a minute? Hey, sis, you got a minute?
Hey, sis, you got a minute?
Hey, sis, you got a minute?
I have a minute. I'm Alona Alipari. I'm so glad to be here. I love the mission that you talked about before you I introduced myself to your audience. So what I love to do is, again, really help people align their purpose with their profit through the journey of entrepreneurship or the channel of entrepreneurship so they can do more good in the world. I think it's really important to be able to do both. You said it, Tamika, it's always about that positive impact that you are leaving behind as we physically will eventually pass. And this is just, you know, one of those stops in the journey for most of us. So let's make it a good one and let's help, you know, contribute, add value with our gifts and our experience. And that's what I love to help others do as well.
I love that. Thank you so much for sharing that and for being a guest on today's podcast. So I, you know, before we started recording, I was joking that I hear a little accent, and we discovered it's a mixture. You're a mixture of some New York, and I love my New York girls, as well as Albanian. And so I'm very interested as we dive into this conversation of how entrepreneurship played into your culture. I'm ignorant with, you know, your culture, but I'm going to jump out there and assume that Albanian women may not always be seen as entrepreneurs. That may not be a path that many women in your culture pursue. Am I correct? And I want to know a little bit more about how the two have intersected for your benefit.
I love that question because it brings me back to my origin story of how did I even, you know, come to this point to be able to do the work that I do. And it's always those meaningful moments in our journey that leaves the lasting impact. And they turn, when you look back and reflect back to your life, you can realize that even the challenges or the things that happened to you have been all on purpose, mm-hmm. so that you can become the person you are today. At least that's kind of how I think about things today. But just going back, migrated to New York when I was only 15 years old. I was the oldest child with my parents and my little siblings. And of course, my parents wanted to chase the American dream because of the lack of the opportunities that Albania offered at that time. We also were part of a civil war in the country. So, you know, it was that opportunity to kind of just go someplace else and build a life. And that's, you know, that's what I remember early on. I grew up very fast, actually, because I happened to be the translator in the family. I started my first jobs trying to contribute to the family bills and all of that, because I could see my parents didn't know the language, didn't really have, you know, any high paying jobs or anything. It was just like kind of survival mode. So I kind of just rose to that equation. So I think that very early on left a really meaningful impact in my character, as I became very early, very responsible. I realized that I wanted to serve and help other people, and of course my family as well. And we One thing about Albanians in our culture, we're loyal, we love family, and we're very hardworking. Mm. Those are three values that I've seen in my parents, three values I took away with me as early as a teenager as I was there. And then I pretty much continued that very early on. My dad, of course, is like, okay, we're going to America. You can be anything you want there, but you got to get your college degree and you got to get your career and your family and all of that. So make sure you get the American dream. So that was a very kind of like instilled in me, and unconsciously, obviously, without even questioning anything, that's kind of what I did. I climbed the corporate ladder 15 years. I worked for a Fortune 500 company, and I was actually happened to be in the right place at the right time because they were in the growth mode. And the culture is very purpose-driven. I was very happy with them for so many years because I was given a lot of opportunity. I was valued for my work. And, my contribution really drove me to really climb the ladder every 2 years. I was getting promoted from HR to marketing to sales to regional director because there was so much opportunity for growth. You know, I explored a lot of things about myself, and I learned a lot, and I was trained there until the company actually was bought by another company 13 years after, and I no longer saw a future there. And it just, that's where the conflict started rising and entrepreneurship started to show up in the horizon. Because, you know, I started working on myself, doing a lot of personal development, because I was in the a transition phase. On the outside, I looked great. It's not like anyone took my job away or anything. It's just that I felt an inner conflict. I was no longer happy and fulfilled. And I could see how the culture had turned very profit-driven. So, you know, I was just a number. And I'm like, okay, so maybe tomorrow something's going to happen or after tomorrow. So let me be more proactive and see what I can do with all the skills and experience that I've gained over the years. So long story short, you know, mentors, I just exposed myself to people, you know, exposed myself to podcasts. That's how I started learning, hired my first coaches and all of that, and changed my life. You know, entrepreneurship, it kind of came to the horizon. And what attracted me about this whole journey, not that I ever thought I'd be one, is just that obviously the growth opportunity, because I'm always somebody that loves to grow and also loves to contribute beyond myself. So I said, wait, I could take what I know and also my gifts that I've discovered so far and like help others and never stop doing it. I'm in. So I was hooked, and it just connected to my purpose at that time. And I said, I can even make this my life's mission, like my purpose, and be dedicated to become a student all my life and learn and grow and then help others. So switch between teacher, student. I've never been a teacher, but I've always been attracted to always sharing what I know with people, because that makes me the happiest at the end of the day. Sharing is absolutely caring. And if I know something and I'm not sharing it, I feel it's not responsible on my end. So that's kind of, you know, how I ended up doing what I'm doing. I did some executive coaching at the beginning, trying to explore the coaching world. Where in the coaches did I, you know, did I fit, or where was I going to find that I solve the biggest problem for people and also deliver the biggest results? Because for me, that's very important. And then I tested some career coaching, and then I still wasn't finding myself. So after I started helping people with businesses and seeing the way my business evolved and grown as well, and the knowledge and expertise, I also paired my leadership skills and my business acumen for the other 15 years. I was putting, you know, I was able to put it together. And I'm like, oh my gosh, I can have more people just like me do more good in the world, but really be profitable, because we need money as a tool so that we can, you know, fund and we can have the freedom we want, but also hire people, you know, spend money to help more people and create more transformation. So that's how I'm like, okay, that's all I'm doing for the rest of my life. I'm going to help them align their purpose and profit, just like, you know, what I've done. So yeah, that's kind of how I got here. And I'm always learning and growing. I don't know what the next year is going to look like, but I love the journey of just being curious and just being open to the expansion of even my awareness around how I want to, you know, uniquely add value to this world. And that's kind of what wakes me up in the morning without an alarm clock.
Yes, I love that. I love that so much. And as a coach, I was on a call with my coach earlier today, and he said something to me that really resonated. And I feel that about you too. He said, the reason why you're so successful, Tamika, is because you're movable. Like, meaning that I'm like a student of life, right? I find value in pretty much everything. I love how you said you fluctuate between student, teacher. And I think the best coaches understand that we're always learning and we're always growing. And one thing I know about entrepreneurship, though, is we can, so there's no one telling us when to clock in and when to clock out. So we often kind of overwork ourselves, and sometimes we don't have good work boundaries. So I want to kind of talk about that. How have you implemented good work boundaries? And also, how do you help your clients? Because that is something, you know, we could work at 2 a.m, at 4 a.m, at, you know, I recently changed my home office so that I'm not working in my bed. That's a boundary for me that I'm going to put into place in 2024. How have you, as someone, because this is what I know before you answer that question, as an oldest child, I'm also the oldest of many siblings. And sometimes we don't have boundaries because we are like mini moms. And so we learn very early that other people's problems and other people's things are our problems. And so we don't know how to really take care of ourselves and implement boundaries for ourselves or for others for us to be truly successful. So how have you navigated the world of boundaries to make sure that your business thrives and not just survive?
I love the connection you made about being the oldest child. I never really thought about it that way, but that makes so much sense that that's actually been the inner work that I've had to do. It's been a journey for sure. I think at the beginning, you know, because you always hear about like, oh, I got to motivate myself to do the things. But it's not the case when you are really have found that purpose and you're like, love what you do. And you're like, I'm going to, you know, help so many people. And you believe it first, genuinely, in your own heart. I think that's where everything begins. And you have that, you know, strength and belief in yourself that, you know, at the beginning is so needed because you don't always have all the evidence, let's say, that this is actually like manifested, you know, materially in the world, not only by, you know, money, but also helping people and all of that. And that's where every business growth journey starts, right? We start with those first couple of people we help and then we grow and scale from there. But to answer your question back to kind of, you know, self-care, it's been definitely a process, and I don't think we ever perfect this process because now I'm in scalability mode. I just expanded again and I'm now hiring more people. So like it never really stops. I think it's important for us to clarify ahead of time those things that matter to us the most. Like for me, it's my health, like my, you know, my meditation practice, my spiritual practice, my physical exercise time, my time with my family, right? So those have to be non-negotiables first, and they go on my calendar first. At least that's what I've learned over the years, because it would be the other way. And then that's what I prioritize my own life as the CEO of my own life first. So I plug all those in my agenda, and I consider those to be very sacred and important. Sometimes, again, if you don't have a habit such as this, as I didn't either, of self-care, because I was like, okay, the person that helped everyone, you know, is going to be a process to be able to kind of abide by your own calendar, so to speak, or respect the time that you set for yourself. But that's kind of what I've learned is the most important piece, to start with my personal first, because if I am respecting and, you know, giving myself time to recharge and do the things that I enjoy beyond business, then I'm going to come back to my business even fuller. Because one thing about entrepreneurship and loving what you do, you may be physically not working, but your mind is working. You're in the shower thinking of the next idea. You're in the bedroom. So I respect you for putting that boundary and being like, this is actually my home office. And that's what I do also. I have like a separate space. And I'm like, when I go there, I work. The rest of the time, I try to calm down. It's not always easy because I'm bringing my mind with me in my family room and talking to the kids and all that. But it's a process, especially when you work from home. I think that detachment, because I would do a 9-to-5 and I understand the difference between going somewhere and, you know, now working, you know, in your home environment. It's kind of harder to switch off and on for sure. But, you know, we try to be intentional. I think that's kind of what I would share with people is plan your personal time first, your self-care time first, honor yourself first, and then put boundaries around your business. And that's why I'm so passionate about the pillars that I teach in Business Legacy, which means which is branding, marketing, sales, systems, and team. Because I really find that there's a big gap between how to grow a healthy, holistic company in the marketplace, and everyone usually teaches separate things like marketing here and, you know, and branding here and then sales over here. And entrepreneurs have to plug all these in and puzzle piece everything. So I'm like, wait a minute, let's put it into a process that everyone can use, that every business needs, just like health. If you want to lose weight, you got to look at your food, you got to look at your, you know, your exercise, you got to look at your sleep. Business has the same pillars. We got to brand yourself, you know, we got to market, we got to learn how to do your sales and all these aspects of the business. And then if you want to scale, of course, you want to implement systems to move yourself out of the business and then hire the right people. So just a lot of experience have kind of brought me to those very foundational pillars, is what I call them. So that's kind of the other thing about that I tell entrepreneurs all the time, learn, fill the gaps of how you need to implement all these different pieces, because then you can intentionally work on purpose on your business. You don't have to be busy and do a million things behind the scenes that are not moving the needle, you know, in front of your profit or building your brand. So you always should be working on those, you know, two main important things, which is building your brand and creating cash flow. Because if you let one slide, eventually you can't sustain what you're doing, right? So understanding that bigger picture, at least for me, it's helped me, as I'm always looking at that bigger picture for myself and where I am now, it's helped me kind of like sit back and be like, okay, so what are the things I repeat that are very important activities? Let me put those on the calendar. I have cash flow. I delegate them. Find a system, find someone to delegate. And I'm constantly doing this process.
Oh, so, gosh.
Understanding the bigger picture definitely helps us understand, like, okay, so if I were to remove all the stuff I do in my business, I tell you it's only five activities that I need to do, probably 10-20 hours a week. So understanding the crucial priorities, just like life, there's certain priorities that are priorities. And if you do nothing else, ensure that you do those things. And, you know, you'll make sure that you're making progress, for go further faster towards your vision, mission, and goals. It's the same in the business world. This business actually is very similar to human life.
It definitely is. There's so many synchronicities. And I love how you talked about planning your, like, your family activities before the business, like those priorities. That's the one of the last things I heard you say, is knowing those priorities and implementing. And that's something, for the first time after being in business for 8 years, that I did, like, before the clock struck 12 on 2024, I wrote in, I think I did it like in November. I said, these are my family date days. These are my, me and my husband's date days. And those are non-negotiable. And I put it on the calendar. So that way I can't schedule a podcast or a coaching session or, you know, any of the other things, because no, these are the things that, so I love that you said that. And I loved how you talked about just really like the holistic approach of business. So many people want to like piece together, but that doesn't work. You know, I am a firm believer that we are three part, mind, body, and soul. And so because we are mind, body, and soul, that's how our business should run. It should have all the elements. And I think that your the way that you run your company and the way that you help your clients run their company is really going to yield a great reward for them, because they're not trying to figure out all the things, but it's almost like going to like a super Walmart or something. And I'm not even a Walmart fan, but there's times that I want to go to Walmart because I know I can get my milk, I can get my lotion, I can get my birthday card, like I can get all the things that I need in one place instead of trying to go to five different places to get it. So I love that you shared that approach and your model with the TWT community. So what I want to know is, how have you learned to, and balance, I don't even like that word. I like the word harmony, how we live in harmony with family, business, and faith. And I want to know, how have those three, how have you learned to master those? Because I'm sure that that's something that you teach your clients as well. How do you live in harmony with family, business, and faith?
I love those three pillars. But yeah, before I get into that one, I love to kind of clarify back to what you said. What I notice with entrepreneurs, and if there's entrepreneurs that are going to listen to us, we usually, because business has its growth phases, usually the main problem that I see is that we try to solve for scaling the business when you haven't even created enough consistent cash flow. So that business model is way different for you trying to scale. You see a lot of business owners or online businesses trying to do the first one because, you know, it's like that, oh, I'm going to grow the business. So they focus on the scaling piece rather than the consistent cash flow. And that is very important to kind of, it's usually the other way around, unless you have achieved a level of stability and you implemented those pillars that I talked about. That's another thing that just I felt pulled to kind of share back to what we were saying. But yeah, I think it's
real quick, Ilona, before you share about the question that I asked before, can you give us like practical tools maybe? And I know you can't, you know, tell us everything because we're going to give you an opportunity to share about your business and how people can get connected with you. But can you give us maybe like 2 to 3 activities that entrepreneurs should be doing, scalable cash flow activities that they should be doing daily to have that constant cash flow in their business?
I love your question. So first one is stay visible online, grow your audiences, grow your network with the right people that you want to serve. Most people lack the clarity around those three pieces. If you are at the pain point of inconsistent cash flow, then you want to take a look at, is your business model supporting your goals? Is your avatar the right person you want to help? Or do you have enough clarity around your avatar and then your messaging? Because all those three pieces have to be aligned. I like the word aligned rather than balanced, and will very nicely flow into the question also. But those have to be, you know, you have to have that clarity around those three things first. And then the other most important activities, even if you do nothing, is stay consistent with your content. That's number one. The other action is build relationships with the audiences that you want to serve. So have that process of nurturing those relationships will be the second. And then the third one is have systems in place, such as masterclasses you're running, a podcast you're running, kind of go to market, have ways for you to be able to showcase how you can actually support people further. So it's part of the visibility piece. So have systems in place, like a challenge you always run, a masterclass you run on a daily, on a monthly basis, an event you do all the time, a podcast such as this, a weekly live, like something that you are always, you know, repeating for consistency purposes and for trust building, because the biggest, most important piece in business is trust. If you have gained trust from the people you want to serve, that's the marketing piece, right? That's the majority of the marketing. And then understand how to get these relationships into, you know, the solving their pain point as a potential client or leveraging those relationships for other partnerships or collaborations, which are very, very valuable. So I would say those crucial activities, like if right now my business shut down and I only had 10 hours to spend on it, those would be the things that I would work on. So yeah, that's what I have to say are the most important activities. And the reason why I say that they're all connected is that for most people, it's really about, they think that just posting content is going to get them to grow their business. That's not how it works. It's just a visibility piece, which is great. Because obviously, if you are on my, you know, Facebook or LinkedIn and you constantly see me there and I'm hopefully offering value by what I'm sharing, that's just one little, you're building trust with me a little bit, right? You still don't, you know, we haven't had a conversation yet. I don't know you. You don't know me. That's why it's important to nurture relationships moving forward. And all those touch points are great ways to do that, because as humans, that's how we nurture relationships. And always be networking, always add, you know, new connections, and always be building your audiences. That's an ongoing business activity that never should be stopping. And then have a process for nurturing relationships and, you know, moving people to the sales process, if that's what it is, and never sell, always serve. I always say you have to earn the right to sell when you have served at least 3-4 times. You've added more value than anything. Sometimes I have to hold myself because the person in front of me, I just met them. We're connected on social media, but I haven't really conversated with them before. I have to almost like hold to my seat because I'm like, oh my gosh, I can help you. And they're already verbalizing the pain point I could solve. But I don't do it because I'm like, I'm here to build trust and add value. How can I support you?
That was golden. That was golden. And I think that's going to be the name of the podcast, Never Sell, Always Serve, because that was golden. And I think anyone that is, you know, even has the idea of jumping into entrepreneurship, there's a lot of false narrative out there that, like, you know, the laptop life, and you can just take your laptop by the beach and post content and you're going to make $1 million. You have to serve people. Entrepreneurship is always about service. And I think because you are very aligned, you're a very aligned woman with, I'm assuming, your business, your faith, and your family, it has helped you be an aligned business partner. So let's jump back into that question. How have you found alignment? I love that. That's a great word. How have you found alignment with those three things?
I think it's back to what you just said. They feed into each other. So if I have a healthy family dynamic and relationship, well, first it starts with self. I would say that would be number one, okay? So once we do that, if I have a healthy family dynamic, of course, I'm going to fuel myself with the quality time I get in my family and all the needs met. I don't know if people have, you know, read the 5 love languages, but, you know, we all, you know, feel love in different ways. So if those relationships are fulfilling, then I can start nurturing, you know, my spiritual. I mean, obviously, these don't come in order, but I learned that one of the most important pieces for me is to get in touch with my intuition, get in touch with my inner self, rather than figuring out and asking for answers, you know, over the entire world. I realized that if I have a practice that I can go within and I can start honoring and listening to myself and that inner voice, which kept bothering, by the way, when I made the entrepreneurship, it was my higher self and, you know, the better version of me speaking. And I get a lot of that too. You know, once you learn how to tap into it, then it becomes really amazing because it's like, you know, I can have an innovative idea that is just coming out of myself and I apply that and I'm like, boom, it could be my next success, right? So, you know, you start connecting that with the business then next, right? So it's like you get fueled, you know, obviously you get ideas from everybody, right? When you work, you know, when you're in a business, you're always looking at gaps. You kind of like almost train yourself. You're like, okay, wait, this is not out there. This is not out there. And then you talk to people and you're like, okay, well, what can I do different? You know, and that's how your innovative ideas come to you. And I think if you have those nourishing relationships with your spiritual side, with your family, with your other relationships, in my business, my team is my family. I don't know how to even separate, you know, the two a lot of the times, because I refer to business as parenting as well. Like, I love the parenting piece because I find my purpose as a parent, I have 2 kids, is to make my kids independent, to role model for them, be that, you know, silent leader, right? Servant leader, where I'm not just like shouting, like, do this and do that and do that. Like, I'm just like showcasing this stuff. And hopefully I'm making my kids independent. It's the same with businesses, right? You want to ensure that your business is self-led eventually, mm-hmm. right? So that it can really reach legacy level, because we all know the timelines of businesses. Not every business, if they don't have these strong foundations in place, can survive. I mean, I don't know what's the turnaround lately. I should Google it, but it was used to be a very high number of failures, right? But if you learn how to turn all of that into your own lessons, there is no such thing as failure. You just adapt. We open with that, right? Our conversation, you just adapt along the way and you learn and grow and you always look for new gaps. There's always opportunities. There's so many problems to solve in this world. Things to do. So if my one business model didn't work, or maybe, you know, I didn't get traction, once I start problem solving, what is it that, you know, maybe I could do differently, then I can always adapt and not to be afraid to change and evolve. Mm-hmm. Because, you know, I think there's always like the next thing that you could do. I'm not saying, I'm not promoting, you just jump on and do like one thing, you know, one day you do this and one day, you know, you teach something else because that's confusing for your brand. So that's another one. But I say, just like a car, you have your wheel, you don't want to go like, you go like slowly. improve, you know, baby steps into the next shift that you feel the most aligned with. And alignment is everything. Everything is energy, right? It's all about this, you know, energy we're shifting and creating. And I could so smell when someone's not aligned because you know that, like you're not in, what's the right word? But yeah, your actions and what you say, it's just, there's something there. And most people can't articulate it. But it's everything, because when you are that, you are fire, you are working on purpose, you are authentic, you're not afraid, you are, you know, showing up to serve, and you believe what you do, and that as a leader, as anything, is so infectious to the people around you. And that's the magnetic messaging that sometimes we hear about
on marketing. Oh, that's so good. So many jewels. And I could literally sit and just talk to you for days because you are a wealth of information. I do want to take a quick pivot and a quick turn. Like Ilona said, just steer this wheel just a little bit. And I want to invite you. She talked about those cash flows injecting activities. And I actually have an opportunity for everyone that is listening. I have a masterclass on boundaries because I believe one of the reasons why we fail in relationships, whether it's your business relationship, your romantic relationship, or even your relationship with your children, is because you do not set and maintain healthy boundaries. So on January 27th, we are having a masterclass, Empower Her Boundaries. All you have to do is go to the link in my Instagram, click the link and register. I would love to see you there. Thank you so much. So I had to throw that quick commercial and you reminded me, Ilona, do those cash injecting activities. So
That service, you're going to put your time, you're going to put your knowledge and expertise to service whoever shows up there. And I hope, you know, people register, because boundaries, oh gosh, is such an important piece, even in everywhere. Once you learn and get that self-awareness, which is, I'm sure you'll touch upon that, you know, it's a different ball game for sure. So yeah, that's the way that you just served people now, right? You have another opportunity for them to be able to change their lives essentially, or just pick up a few quick wins from what they can maybe pick up in an hour, you know?
So. Absolutely. And that's what it's all about. It's never about selling. It's always about service. Love, love, love that. I'm taking that and I may make an Instagram post. I'll credit you because I believe in giving credit. I love that. I love that what you said. So Ilona, I want to give you an opportunity to serve the TWT family just by sharing with us where you hang out online, any products, any services, if your coaching program is open for new clients, what do you have going on? This is your opportunity to serve us in the best of your ability.
Well, thank you so much. Yes, in the spirit of service, I think the best spot to send people will be my website, because over time, I have jam-packed it with great resources, not to overwhelm anyone. I'm very systematic in the way that I have put together resources. So I would recommend probably the masterclass for a lot of people, which is the 1 hour recorded live one that I did, where I talk about the connection between all those different pillars. And even again, if you are already applying, you'll start to get a lot of clarity if you go listen to the masterclass around, okay, where is it that you are? And you'll see the gaps very clearly, because again, all these things connect to one another. And that's kind of the purpose of that masterclass, so that I can help you connect where you are and where you're trying to go and what phase are you in? Are you in the consistent cash flow, you know, base building phase, or are you in the scalability phase? And you'll walk away, you know, with lots of clarity after you attend that masterclass. But it would be my website, IlonaLaparicoaching.com. I also am big on community. I have a Facebook group. It's called The Life School. People just can come there, and I do a lot of stuff in there to ensure that I'm adding value to the community. I'm not just sharing my knowledge, expertise, and gifts, but I run a lot of events, speaking events, because I love the speaking aspect of things. And I can love to connect people together. I'm a business dot connector and a human connector. That's kind of the two things that I love to do the most.
I love that. We will definitely have all of Ilona's information in the show note. We will put the link to her website, to her Facebook group, even to the masterclass. So you have no excuses. Listen, 2024, build your legacy. It's time. If not you, then who? I want to thank you, Ilona, for spending this time with me. Thank your family, your husband, for for sharing you with us, with the community, for this time that we have shared. I want you to leave the community with a 30-second inspiration on legacy and how they can, I don't even want to prompt you for too much. Just share, leave us with some of your wisdom.
Yeah, I think to connect it all for me for this interview, what comes through is pay attention to all the things that attract you, is connected to your purpose, is the reason why that eye of yours is going to those specific things or talents or messages or people. It's because it's sitting all inside of you. We're a human machine of talents. We just will never discover all of them. Just forget about it. Forget about one gift. I say you have at least one, but oh gosh, how many more you will have in there? You'll be surprised once you go into self-exploration of figuring out your purpose. And then once you discover those, I always say that your next step is to share those with the world. And I have found the biggest legacy that we can leave behind is stay true to ourselves, you know, figure out, discover ourselves so that we are aligned with ourselves first. And then once we discover that, be in service to others and in contribution, and you believe that it's the meaningful work that you need to do at that certain level, phase, and stage of business or life, I should say, and always be learning and growing, always be a life student, as life will never be dull. You'll always be exploring yourself, and then you get addicted to the process, and you know when you're in comfort zone, you're like, okay, time to get to the next thing. And that's how you expand. The more you expand, the more you can serve. So just keep doing it. It's a process, ongoing.
Oh, I love it. I love it. So, so good. TW2 family, thank you so much. Remember to go on over to YouTube and subscribe. Share this content with someone that may need it. Go over to Apple Podcasts. Leave us those 5 stars. It helps us to push good content like Ilona shared out to more people that need this value. Until next week, continue to live a life to inspire and not impress. Continue to lift as you climb. Turn those trials into treasures. Be open and aligned to allow God to fully restore you in love as if you've never been hurt. Until next week, bye-bye.
Bye, everybody.